powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Happy Tuesday, you guys. Girls back from vacation. Can I just shout out quickly, Jake Heaps, friend, co-host, amazing person, holding down the show. Now add host, like lead host, to his title, because in addition to being an analyst and a co-host, Jake was leading the show. You were steering. You were captain of the ship, and you did an amazing job. I tuned in on Friday, caught a little bit of it, and it was awesome. Good job.
Well, thanks, Stacy. I appreciate
welcome.
It. I don't envy you whatsoever. The anxiety that I had the entire time, just making sure that I didn't, you know, veer off course too much. I have a newfound respect, Stacy.
Oh, thank you.
For what you do and how smooth you keep everything on track. It's great. And yes, the 206, you're right. It's Tracy Frost. She is back. She is she went on vacation and Stacy went on vacation. Now she's come back as Tracy, and we're ready to rock. Let's do this.
It's exactly right. And it was I want to say a relaxing vacation because I was in bed, but really I was just knocked out for basically a day after my second vaccine, and then I had a doctor's appointment yesterday. It was riveting. It was a wonderful...
It's absolutely incredible. I mean, you know, you were set to go off jet-setting into
exactly
the sun,
right.
And then you end up, having
in
to rest and recover.
I thought it would be a possibility.
Did you get a lot of Netflix in?
I got a lot of Netflix in. And you know what the thing I'm most excited about, Jake? It wasn't relaxing. It wasn't taking a break. It wasn't letting myself have an entire sleeve of hazelnut Oreos, highly recommend. It was yesterday when I went to my doctor's appointment. I want you to listen to me. You and Curtis, I could make money, like American tender from people betting that I am taller than they think I am. And Jake, I will have you know, an American tender that a medical doctor confirmed I am indeed 5'2", and that's all. And so your girl is officially 5'2". Yes, that's exactly
Stacey,
right.
Stacy, have you ever seen the doctor's office? I still don't understand why they don't get up with the times. If you still have to step on the scale and they have those weighted little things to balance out your weight scale.
No. This is 2021. It's all digital now. It's all digital.
Oh, it is.
So it's science. So science, not even the doctor, science measured me at 5'2". And so really that's what I'm taking away from my vacation. I feel rejuvenated. I feel like a new woman.
Stacey, my question to you is, did you approach this the way that I approached it with my, you know, NFL pro day? And I stuffed
I
added some socks.
I added another layer.
Dr. Scholl's gels into my heels.
Nope.
Just so you could be 5'2".
She made me take off my shoes, which I was wearing sandals, so I was barefoot. It was gross. And then also, I was wearing a baseball cap. She made me take off the baseball cap. What does that add? Nothing. She made me take it off anyways. I was like, wow, you're getting really stingy here. Anyway, so it was a wonderful weekend. Thank you for holding it down. You did a fantastic job. DJ also holding it down. And we are jumping back into a really fun show because we have Scott Service on at 1 p.m. for the Scott Service show. Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline is going to be on. So lots and lots of Mariners talk. There is a very fascinating Seahawks conversation that I want to get to first and foremost, Jake, because I think that there is a jealousy issue. A very specific jealousy issue, maybe, with two quarterbacks. So I'll explain what I mean here. Adam Schefter says that Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, they got some Tom Brady envy.
Yeah, I think, Mina, that Russell has some Tom envy. I think Aaron Rodgers has got some Tom envy. I think these quarterbacks who have been in places for a long period of time see Tom go to a new place, help call the shots, win a Super Bowl, and they want to try some of that while living in the Florida sun and paying no state tax. I want to see when Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are willing to do contract extensions. Now, it may get to that eventually, and they may sign on for more years in their respective sites with their respective franchises. But right now, I'm not so sure about.
Now, the disrespect has been noted because Adam conveniently forgot that Washington also has no income tax.
Correct.
So Russell Wilson benefiting
from
that. Come on. Learn more about Washington state law. But Jake, I need you to answer, because I think there's absolutely some Tom envy going on. First of all, who isn't envious of Tom Brady in his situation? Who isn't? But as far as like team control in the kind of the team that you're on, the success and all of it that comes with it, but then the team's like deferment to you. You know what I mean? Like the team being deferential to you, adjusting when you want to adjust, giving you so much power. Like, what quarterback wouldn't be jealous of that?
Well, of course, absolutely. You're in a situation where you're jealous of that. But I think it's very important to highlight what they're jealous of. No, it's not being jealous of the Florida sunshine and the no state tax, as we talked about with, you know, Washington having no state tax themselves. I think Aaron Rodgers is pretty happy playing for one of the more historic franchises in all of football with the Green Bay Packers. Plenty of spotlight is on them. What they are envious of is the idea of, I think, not more control, because I think that's been lost along the way. Oh, they want to be the GMs. Oh, they want to be this. Oh, they want to do that. They want to have control over this, that, and the other. Is the connectivity between quarterback, head coach, and GM, and that they're all working on the same page. And that there is a mutual feeling that they're working on the same page. And is, yes, that going to come into the idea of saying, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And being able to, you know, talk through some of those things. Yeah, it comes in the form of that when it comes to player personnel decisions. But that is very few and far between, Stacey. Really what it's about is the success, the level of success that Tom Brady has had. Mm-hmm. And what he has been able to accomplish and what he's been able to get, and you know, not just the stats of what Tom Brady has done, but it's the Super Bowls. And when you have players that are ultra competitive and players and quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers going into year 16 with the Green Bay Packers, with Russell Wilson being in year 10 with the Seattle Seahawks, they have long tenured relationships with this organization, with their respective organizations, and with their coaching staff. Aaron Rodgers turning a new leaf with Matt LaFleur and new GM after Ted Thompson's passing. But, you know, Russell Wilson being there with Pete Carroll and John Schneider for 10 seasons now, I think that when you get to those conversations with players that put in the amount of work, the dedication that they put into this, and the tenure and being the highest paid employee in the franchise, it's not wanting more control, mm-hmm. but when you feel like your success is being cut short, not just as an individual, but as a team, that's when I think you start to see these players want to say, hey, this is what I think we can do differently, right? That's where it starts to come into play. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying I think that's where it comes from. And when you see that envy of Tom Brady and what he's been able to do, I think it's an envy of the connectivity that Tom Brady has had with Bill Belichick, with Tampa Bay over the years, and Tampa Bay last year, with how they see things and how they're willing to come together and make it all work.
Yeah, Tom Brady's success, uncanny success and success that no one else has had, makes him the GOAT. It also gives him the ability to advocate for himself, to ask for things that other players would never be able to. I have to think that even if Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson think they're genuinely as good or better than Tom Brady talent-wise, they are rational, smart people. They have to understand that until you win the number of Super Bowls he has, you don't get to have full power that he has. And until you have 20-plus years in the league, you don't get to have the power that he has. I also think, though, that the NFL's changing. And some people, by the way, not okay with that. Take a listen to what Ron Wolf had to say.
There's a huge change, and it started with Russell Wilson, then went to Watson, and now we got Rodgers. And it appears that today's quarterbacks want to be more than quarterbacks. They're hired, in my time, they're hired to play the position quarterback. That's what they're being paid for, that's what they're being paid to do. But these guys, they want to pick the coach, pick the players. It's an interesting dilemma.
Now, let's be real. I think that quarterbacks have always had a level of power, and there's always been a level of uneasiness, of friction at times between quarterback and head coach. That goes back to even back in the day, right? Like, there were issues that we just never heard about because sports media and Twitter didn't exist then the way it does now. Twitter, first of all, didn't exist at all the way it does now. So you never heard about those issues. But you think that Bradshaw, you think people weren't arguing and advocating, Aikman, that they weren't arguing and advocating for certain things or once in a while throwing a fit? Of course they were. Of course they were. They're quarterbacks. They have to think that they are the best thing ever in order to succeed. You have to have a level of confidence and sureness in yourself to succeed. Not only that, but the landscape of what a quarterback means to teams have changed. Teams are better than ever. Players are more talented than ever. You want to get to a Super Bowl? Well, the vast majority of the time, you're going to need a franchise quarterback. And that means, Jake, that franchise quarterbacks are going to recognize their own value. So outside of just some of the factual issues with that, like, for example, the fact that Russell Wilson's comments came after Deshaun Watson's comments and that Deshaun Watson's unhappiness only came because Texans ownership stepped in it and promised him something they didn't deliver on. I digress. Outside of that, and just like the factual kind of inaccuracies with that,
right?
The league's changing. And there probably is some Tom Brady envy going on, but there's also a very fair kind of demand for the ability to advocate for themselves that only tenured quarterbacks can do and can ask for. And Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, whether or not you disagree, are two of the more accomplished and more veteran quarterbacks in the league and two of the few people that kind of have a leg to stand on with some of that.
Well, and the other thing is they have some, as you said, a leg to stand on, but there are very pointed issues for both of these guys, right? For Aaron Rodgers, it's more of a grudge than anything else when it comes to them drafting his future replacement of last year. That was really the final straw for Aaron Rodgers. But over the years, they have not invested heavy capital over the last 4 years at the receiver position, at the skill group overall, mm-hmm. and that has been a frustration of Aaron Rodgers over the last 4 years. Russell Wilson, the ire has been not about necessarily certain players, but it's been about the way that the organization has gone about acquiring offensive line talent and what that has led to, and playing behind a bottom tier offensive line for, you know, 5+ years of his career. He's never once had a top five offensive line that every other, top flight quarterback. Yeah, he just last
literally
year
for the first time.
In one statistical category in pass win rate, just one statistic, not overall, Stacey, just one statistic, they were in the top 10. So there is a certain thing that you look for. Also, the offensive philosophy, and to Pete Carroll's credit, they did that. They made a change this last year with the offense, going to Shane Waldron. That is something that they have moved forward to. That is something that they have agreed upon. Both, Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, John Schneider, they all felt like that was something that would be positive for the team moving forward. So that is something that they have listened and have taken in and have moved forward with. And that's also why you saw the offensive line situation. So I think that, again, coming back to that idea, Stacey, is why does this happen? Why is there mm-hmm. that envy? It's about being connected, feeling connected with the front office, with your head coach, and feeling like you're all on the same page, working together towards that common goal, which is to get to a Super Bowl. And if those two guys feel like they're in that position together and everything's in synergy, you wouldn't hear a peep from them. Right? And that's ultimately where it comes down to. And I think Russell Wilson, the Seahawks, are in a better position, the much, much, much better position than where they were earlier this offseason. But that's the heart of the issue.
Yeah. This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. As a reminder, some great guests today, Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline at noon, and of course, the Scott Service Show at 1 p.m. Going to hear his reactions to Jared Kelnick's first series in the bigs. Right now, though, DJ, it's 11:15. That means it's time for your three questions, brought to you by Tila Mortgage.
It's time for three questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 11:15, three burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
That's the dumbest question you could ask. What?
Before I ask question one, I got to ask this question from the text line. Stacey, did you not spend any time with Brian over the weekend?
Oh, no. He is in space still. He's got some stuff up there with the rover.
The rover?
They needed him on Mars. to do some stuff, and so he couldn't make it. But it's
good for him.
Yeah,
right? Does he get Wi-Fi on there? Are you guys able to FaceTime?
He does. He does. We FaceTimed a little bit, and you know, it's just he was gonna be here, but he's so big and strong that they needed him up there.
Right.
So.
He's
sure.
He's working with Elon. As Elon Musk is also working on Mars too, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
He's
yeah,
busy. Right. He's a busy man. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
This is a fact.
Uh-huh.
Your question,
well,
DJ?
Question one. With Daryl Taylor working at Sam linebacker, and we're assuming that Jordan Brooks is set to be the future Will linebacker, is it time for Seahawks fans to give up hope on KJ Wright returning?
Personally, with the conversation and the way that everything is unfolding, I do think it might be that time that Seahawks fans come to that realization that KJ Wright, the likelihood of him returning is not going to be high. And if you are going to see KJ Wright come back, it is going to be maybe just a little bit before training camp. I just, at this point, I think that they are looking to move on. And it was very clear with Pete Carroll and the way that he was talking about Daryl Taylor that they really view this as a move that would be to the best benefit of this defense, not just now in 2021, but of the future. So I really do think that Daryl Taylor is the guy that they are hoping can really turn into that next Sam linebacker for this team.
Yeah, I think I've been, unfortunately, counting KJ out for a while now. I'm still surprised he hasn't signed with another team. I mean, it could be that he is holding out until he feels like he's getting paid what he's worth. And unfortunately, this year, it's COVID plus his age at juxtaposition with the genuinely good performance he's had over the last couple of years. I think that teams maybe are overlooking that and seeing it as flukish when really he's been able to string together like three of the better seasons. And so it's a shame for him. I would love for him to finish his career as a Seahawk. I think there's still a chance because I think if there's one thing you're looking at, if you're a Seahawks fan, if you're a KJ Wright fan, and chances are good that you're both of those things because of what he's meant to this organization, I think that he has friendships here. He has a closeness with the coaching staff and with the organization that he may choose, maybe, like Jake said, later this year, hey, I'm not getting any other offers. Let's just finish this up here in Seattle. So I think that that's your last best chance.
Number two.
Okay, so ever since outfielder Taylor Trammell's been sent down to AAA, he's slugging. His slugging percentage is like above 1,300.
It's like 1,000.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. He's literally hitting over nearly 640. But then you have catcher Cal Raleigh, who's also slugging over 500.
Yeah.
He's playing very good defense. So what are we going to see first? The return of Taylor Trammell or the debut of Cal Raleigh?
Ooh,
guys.
Jake.
Look, Taylor Trammell was playing absolutely lights out. The problem is where's the room? Where's the fit?
Right.
What are you going to do to get him some actual playing time? The best thing for Taylor Trammell is to play and is to get on the field and to keep getting those at-bats, to keep developing. I think there's a way to get him on the field, down the line. But as of right now, between Kelnick, Kyle Lewis, and Mitch Haniger, you're not going to take those three out of the everyday lineup. You're going to continue to keep playing those guys. So I don't think Trammell really is going to come up to the big league level again anytime soon, barring an injury. I'm sorry, but I don't care if Tom Murphy hits a home run last night. The catcher position is a black hole for the Mariners right now. It is an abyss. It is nearly a guaranteed out. You have Luis Torrens who, look, Tom Murphy, if you're not going to be a great hitter, okay, be a great defensive catcher, and Tom Murphy is pretty good at that. With Luis Torrens, he can't do either one of them. He can't do either one. So my answer, DJ, is the debut of Cal Raleigh, and I hope it happens when he is ready, but I hope that is soon. I hope it is sooner rather than later because we need to start seeing some actual production out of that position for once. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, I think Cal's going to be up here first. Now, are you guys ready for me to make you all, including listeners, very mad at me? Ready?
Sure.
Ready for this?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm ready.
Okay,
yeah.
Check it out. So we've had one series of Jared Kelnick. Had a fantastic, was it Friday? Fantastic Friday. Mets fans probably losing a lot of sleep after that one. And then has kind of struggled, right? There's a little bit of a learning curve. At times he's looked really great. And I even have liked the way he's struck out. Like, it's even seeing him strike out, you're like, oh, that was a great strike. But hear me out. I was listening to Wyman and Bob the other day. And Bob said, well, there is, of course, a chance that you get another outfielder up here if you need to, you know, maybe send Kelnick down, let him get a little bit of work. He's had one series in the bigs, but what if that is the instance that you see Taylor Dunnell up
Stacey,
here? Okay, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm just saying. It's like it's literally like you got a brand new car for your birthday, and I said, well, I mean, what are you going to do, you know, if you have to get this replaced or the transmission fixed or if you need to go get this? And you're like, I just got the car. Let me drive the car.
Correct.
I literally just got it.
Let it play out a little bit, okay? We're not going to talk about Kelnick going down anytime soon.
I'm a worrier. I'm riddled with anxiety at all times.
I will say, though, Jake and Gross did talk about this. Mike Trout had to be sent down a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying Kelnick's going to be Mike Trout's Angels aggregators, get away from me, but just saying. Mike Trout had to be sent down like twice before he became the Mike Trout that we know now. So,
speaking of, Curtis sent Jake and I this tweet the other day, and I'm not going to say it because I don't have it in front of me and I don't want to butcher the joke, but it was pointing to the idea that every time you look at the standings and you see the Angels either in bottom or second to last with Texas, you're just like, how? You have two of the best players in baseball, including someone who may go down as like one of the best players ever in baseball. And you can't get it together.
And right now, Ohtani is one of those players that he's a video game player.
He like, does something new every single time.
He's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. I mean, his ERA is around 2. And he's hitting the
unreal.
He's leading the league in home runs. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's unbelievable.
He's gonna have like a no hitter and a 2 home run game, and you're gonna
How
be like, what? Is this a
bad
video game? I don't know. It's we had on, was it Goldie that we had with us that said it was the rotation? I'm not paying close attention to their rotation. Is that their big issue?
The rotation's always bad.
Is
even
a mess.
In the year
you
they went to
spend,
the playoffs,
man, come
the
on.
Rotation was not
Imagine
good.
Having Mike Trout and right now Shohei Ohtani, and you don't try to fix that problem. I'm sure they're trying. They're not doing it effectively. Shame on you, Angels. Shame on you. Feels good to shame another team. Feels great. All right. Mike Salk going to join us next. Now, I want to ask him if he thinks Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers have Tom Brady envy, and I got to get his reaction to Jared Kelnick's first weekend in the bigs. That's coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Mike Salk joins us now, brought to you by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Trying to make this headphones work.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
I'm a rookie.
I told you we'd be talking about the Belmont Stakes. Well, yeah. I just said the Belmont. We won't be, though. You seemed very upset. That we won't be, so I'm so sorry.
But it's always a good excuse to watch Secretariat at the Belmont.
Oh my God, my parents talk.
But we're not at the Belmont. Don't we have to get through the Preakness first?
I don't know if anyone else's parents are like this. If you mention something that they love, they'll both talk about it forever. They've watched Secretariat probably 100 times.
Sure.
If you mention the word Secretariat around them, they'll say, oh, it's such a good movie.
It's weird. I didn't realize the Groz was your father, but that's cool. I like... He's kind of the same way.
Very few people realize that.
No.
It's such a random kind of relationship there. Mm-hmm. No, we are going to talk, though, about Jared Kelnick. His first weekend had a fantastic Friday, looked every bit kind of the sky-high potential that you were expecting, and then has had some issues other nights, either getting on base or just, you know, with the rest of this offense, got on base the other day and then didn't end up getting, a run in because of just where the offense was. So what'd you make of just his first weekend?
Well, I thought it was a success, and I think what you see from him is his supreme confidence, right? I mean, it's an athletic arrogance, and I say that in all the right ways. I mean, he carries himself like he's been there before. Doesn't matter that he's 21. He's built like a you-know-what. He fills out the uniform. He looks the part, and, you know, I'm not going to be the first person. This isn't like some great baseball insight, but the hustle double is one of those things that will ingratiate him with his teammates. Yeah, they're going to love the hitting. They're going to love the home run. They're going to love the other double he hit. But the fact that he's busting it out of the box to reach second base on a little squibber to left field is a big deal. And his competitiveness, all of everything that kind of wraps into his personality, the goal with him, and we talked to Jeff Passan on the podcast today. That'll come out tonight.
Passan, you mean?
Jeff Passan, yes. We talked to Jeff, and I think what you'll find is Kelnick has the possibility to be that linchpin that changes Mariners culture, right? It's something Scott's been working on with Jerry over the last few years. What does it mean to be a Mariner? And if he can be that Richard Sherman, Marshawn Lynch, just to make an easy to understand analogy, to change the pride in being a Mariner and bring some of that, again, athletic arrogance to the team, I just can't wait for what the future holds for him.
I don't want to put Jake on blast, but I'm so good at it, and I'm back, and so I'm just, like, dying to do it, that Jake's eldest, Jackson, had a Little League game the other day. Fantastic. Got on base.
Last,
we just saw
last night.
We saw him hit a single. It was great. That every hit is a double mentality, though. I don't know if that's being coached into him right now, Jake.
Well,
and I got to say, that first baseman left a lot to be desired.
Well, Stacey.
Not a lot of hustle.
First off, in T-ball, you only get to take one base.
Okay,
no matter
well,
what, you only get to first
base. I don't
know
base, who's coaching these kids.
I don't really like the principle because he hit more than a single. He could have taken two.
Oh.
He crushed in the ball out
well,
there.
Well, and there was an error at the first base. The first baseman
E3.
Child.
Yeah.
E3.
Yeah,
if I've ever seen one.
It was rough. I don't think the first baseman caught a single ball, Salk. But, you know, that's okay. He's 4 years old.
Four.
So I'm going yeah.
well,
to cut him
start
some
somewhere.
Slack.
Yeah. All right.
Salk, with Jared Kelnick, and you talk about, you know, him being a fire starter, you talk about, you know, him going to the doubles. I you know, made the comment yesterday, I don't care how much of a crusty veteran you are and, you know, Kyle Seager, or you're so laser focused that you might not even be paying attention to it if you're Mitch Haniger, but that's got to give like a little smirk or a head nod of approval from one of those two guys, right? Like when you have somebody like that with Kelnick, it does bring something to the table, and it does
sure.
bring a needed and an added energy to that club.
I think there's a lot of that, honestly, and they'll find a way to deal with some of his cockiness, right? I mean, that's what veterans do in all sports, but I don't think it's like the old days where that stuff gets beaten out of them. I don't think they want it to get beaten out of them. They are looking for that spark of energy that a Jared Kelnick brings, and he's so competitive, which I think is something that'll be appreciated by these veterans. And you mentioned guys like Seager and Haniger, yes. But I think it's also the J.P. Crawfords and guys that really have become taken on, Marco Gonzalez, who've taken on some of the leadership on this team. I think they're going to love it. I think they're going to love him. And there'll be their moments. I'm sure he could wear on you. Don't you think? Right? A guy
Jared,
that is, yeah.
Imagine knowing someone like that. They're just constantly like talking. So confident. And really, really good. It's obnoxious.
He's gonna wear you out, I think, at times. But
well, there were times actually. Do you remember what day it was? Was it Saturday when on his third strikeout he like threw his helmet
yeah.
off?
He's got a little he's okay. got a little temper to him.
Well,
snap a bat now and again.
I don't mind that, but what I was wondering is when we had Jonathan Mayo, Jake,
yeah.
we had Jonathan Mayo on, and he was like, "This is a guy who's never struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's never been bad at something."
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, like, can the confidence, which you love, hold up with never being bad at anything?
Well, and this is the conversation we had about when he was ready. The goal was for him to fail a AAA.
Right.
Right. That's what they were hoping. Like, okay, go to AAA, have your struggles there
right.
so that we can keep you down for a little bit. Then you get your confidence back and off you go. And you know what? If he struggles badly here at the major league level for long enough, they'll send him back down. And let him go deal with it at AAA, just like Taylor Trammell is right now, where he's got, like, what is he, like 12 out of 15 or something since he's been there with a bunch of home runs. So,
yeah.
you know, there are ways to continue to handle it. I think he will be okay. I don't see this as being a fragile ego, which could be cracked from a couple of 0-for-4s. He strikes me as a guy, you know, Ray Allen. I've missed 5 in a row and hit the 6th. Like, he'd just step right back up and start bombing.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Everything that we've heard and everything that we've seen from him seems like he has that mental makeup, that strength. But Salk, I want to switch gears here. You know, Stacey and I were having a conversation at the top, just talking about you know, reacting to this cut here from Adam Schefter, talking about how Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, they might have some Tom Brady envy.
Yeah, I think, Mina, that Russell has some Tom envy. I think Aaron Rodgers has got some Tom envy. I think these quarterbacks who have been in places for a long period of time see Tom go to a new place, help call the shots, win a Super Bowl, and they want to try some of that while living in the Florida sun and paying no state tax. I want to see when Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are willing to do contract extensions. Now, it may get to that eventually, and they may sign on for more
yeah.
years in their respective sites with their respective franchises, but right now, I'm not so sure about.
Sulk, there's a lot to unpack there from that Schefter comment. But the ultimate question that I want to ask you is, A, do you believe that there is envy looking at Tom Brady for both of those quarterbacks? And what exactly are they envious of? Like, what truly are they envious of?
What should they be envious of, or what are they envious of? Because I think those are two very different questions. They should be envious of the rings. But it sounds like, according to Schefter, he's making the view that they're envious of the say that Brady has in personnel decisions, etc. And I would hope that because neither Aaron Rodgers nor Russell Wilson are stupid at all, and in fact both have pretty good memories, maybe even long ones, they remember the decades Tom Brady spent with exactly zero control in New England winning Super Bowls. So I hope they're not jealous that all of a sudden, after 20 years in the league and all the Super Bowls won, Brady finally got a little bit of say. I hope that's not the case, because that wouldn't make any sense at all.
You know, it wouldn't be, and I do think that it does come down to Super Bowls. But I also believe that when you're 16 years in the league, you're 10 years in the league, and you see consistent, you know, consistent things happening.
Yeah, like, I can see the jealousy, right? I mean, like the way Tom Brady won those Super Bowls with those incredible receiving weapons like Troy Brown, David Givens, and David Patton. I could see why they're jealous of that.
But
I mean, get me weapons, man! I need that David Patton on the outside. Come on. If they're jealous
of great protection.
Of course he did. And he had better defenses. He had great defenses. And I've never one time heard Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, or anyone in their supposed camps talking about how the defense on their team needs to be better. Tom Brady won his first three Super Bowls because he had the best defense in the league. Russell Wilson won his Super Bowl because he had the best defense in the league. Aaron Rodgers, the year he won the Super Bowl, had a great defense.
Tom Brady evolved, and they were able to win Super Bowls different ways, right? So to me, ultimately, what it comes down to is Super Bowls, but it comes down to, is everybody's vision in alignment? And do they all feel that that vision is in alignment?
Well, and in the first at least three, if not four or five, of Tom Brady's Super Bowls, everyone was in Bill Belichick's vision alignment. It wasn't Tom Brady's. It was Bill Belichick's.
Right.
So there's plenty of ways to win this thing, and one of them, and by the way, one that both Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson have won in, is by assuming your coach's vision. That's how they both won. Neither of them have won once they got squawky.
Right.
They both won when they accepted the world as it is.
That is true. That's also early on in their careers. And at some point with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, there wasn't an evolution that did happen there. If there wasn't an evolution that happened in the middle of Tom Brady's career, do you think that, you know, he wouldn't be feeling that way?
I mean, eventually there has been an evolution.
He left town. He did leave town eventually because he felt like they weren't in the same direction anymore.
Yeah, but I think you've seen evolution from both Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and their teams as well. So I don't buy any of that. Also, Tom Brady capitalized. Aaron Rodgers did not capitalize the same way. He lost NFC Championship games to Russell Wilson. And, oh, by the way, quit in the last one he was in. Russell Wilson, unfortunately, didn't capitalize. As much as I blame Daryl Bevel more than anybody else, Russ threw a pick at the goal line and lost the second chance to win a Super Bowl. Like, you got to capitalize on them when you have the opportunity, because you never know when they're coming back. Look, I think things are going to end up being fine, and I don't think that Russell and Aaron Rodgers are in very analogous situations. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, I don't see how they can work together ever again. Mm-hmm. Rodgers needs out of there. That is a fractured relationship from a guy who doesn't mind walking away from a relationship. See his parents, who he doesn't talk to anymore.
And Olivia.
Russell
and Danica.
Russell Wilson kind of went, you know, if the situation is right and there's like an expansion team in Omaha or maybe somewhere else, like, I might, like, these are teams I'd think about. Like, Russell Wilson is salvageable with the Seahawks. My gosh, they should be together for years to come. Aaron Rodgers, that thing's a divorce. It's done.
All right. He is Mike Salk, joins us every weekday at 11:30. Thanks, Mike.
Sure. See ya.
You guys, Jake Heaps has panned the 6-man rotation for the Mariners. He still doesn't like it. Okay, he still doesn't like it. But he'll tell you why. Weirdly enough, it makes him hopeful for this rebuild and Jerry DePoto's future in Seattle. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. It finally happened, Jake. It finally happened. You've come around on the 6-man rotation. I didn't think it would be here. I didn't think I'd see the day, but here we are. I come into work rocking amazing
Stacey.
Sandals that not enough people are complimenting. Mike didn't say anything. DJ didn't say anything. listening, very disappointed in both of you. Feathers are in. I come in.
Stacey, it's like a, it's like something out of Legally Blonde.
Exactly.
Like Elle Woods.
What's the problem?
You're channeling your inner Elle Woods with these shoes.
I come in looking fantastic. And the first thing I hear is, you know what? I like the six-man rotation.
I did not say
okay,
that.
Okay, well, what did you say? Maybe I'm paraphrasing because I was too busy focusing on other things.
Yes. Well, what I was saying, so DJ, I think you were actually paying attention to me during our show prep, whereas Stacey
was just
making half-measured, you know, just, sure. Here's what's going on with the six-man rotation is this has been something that has drawn a lot of ire from Mariners fans, and I think that when you look at, and including me, because when you look at this rotation, you're putting yourself in a hole. You're giving your day essentially to the bullpen because you're just trying to get through. You're trying to survive as you have suffered so many injuries. And instead of trying to put that pressure on your bullpen and get yourself into situations where you need the very next day, you need your starter to go long and deep into innings. He can't have a bad day because you've worn out your bullpen, right? Your bullpen is incredibly thin that next day. I think that you could look at it and say, well, they need to move to a five-man rotation. They have been, from the very get-go, they have been very adamant that they are not going to deviate from their six-man rotation. And that has been what we've heard from Scott Servais on our show. We have heard that from Jerry DePoto on Danny and Gallant and in various interviews that he has done. But I love the explanation of what he said here, Stacey. One, he kind of gave a John Schneider comment about, I don't think that there's just a starting pitching tree that we can just go pluck
that's
guys
his favorite,
from
the offensive
that I'm lineman. that I'm aware of. So pulling a John Schneider there, but he says, "Look, we don't think the easy way to resolve this is by shortening up to a five-man rotation. Frankly, because then we will do just the opposite of what we set out to do. We'll run out of innings with some of these young guys, and I know from a competitive standpoint, the six-man rotation has been questioned." But this is also something that we're able to do because we're adding Logan Gilbert, bringing along inning counts for our guys like Justice Sheffield and Justin Dunn, finding ways to keep guys like Chris Flexen, Yusei Kikuchi on what is a typical interval work time for them. So they are wanting to maintain the development, Stacey. They are wanting to keep Chris Flexen and Yusei Kikuchi on a rotation that they are comfortable with and what they are accustomed to doing. And they are sticking to that no matter what. And the reason why I like it, I like the firmness, I like the never wavering stance on this, is because that then shows me that they are not, you know, just blowing with the wind, that they are not Jack Cerenzik. And when things aren't going wrong, they then go out and trade for, you know, Trumbo. What is it? Mark Trumbo? I can't even remember the guy's name. Mark Trumbo? Thanks, DJ. And you know, you go through and you make a bunch of terrible decisions, Stacey, because you're not confident in your plan. You don't have conviction in your plan. Well, Jerry DePoto and this group, they have conviction in their plan and what they, you know, what they have set out to do and what they believe is the best developmental plan, what is the best plan for their rebuild. And I have to give a hat tip to Jerry DePoto and Scott Servais and the rest of the crew. I respect the heck out of that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way, which makes it interesting. I'm also not the biggest fan of the six-man rotation, especially with the number of players they have hitting the injured list, right? Like, it is tough. And I will say that, was it Robert Duggar, did a pretty decent job that bullpen day, pretty good job collectively. And the bullpen itself, outside of a few stumbles, has been remarkable this year, has been a strength for the team this year, and has helped them succeed in spite of that offense. That said, you don't want to make that a regular part of your rotation. I wondered if they would change it, Jake. I wondered if they would take a step back. And I think that they have their eyes on the prize with the development of oh my God, I had a chance to say their guys and rhyme it all. Instead, I was going to say their prospects. Stupid, Stacey. I think that, you know, you look at who was it that was talking about the six-man rotation. Was it DePoto especially benefiting Logan Gilbert down the stretch? That was one of the guys they were really hoping for. Well, he's a guy that is up now, and you're hoping that he can benefit from that. And so, yeah, Marco Gonzalez would love to have a five-man rotation, but guess what? Logan Gilbert might need an extra development day, an extra rest day, and so their eyes are on the future. I love that mentality, Jake. I love you pointing it out. What I hope is that it translates to something like off-season spending. Hey, eyes on the prize in terms of off-season spending, and don't just make it on like, hey, we're still developing. We've still got to go. No, like have your mindset on we want to compete in 2022. Okay, well, keeping this six-man rotation is part of how we're keeping those pitchers, those young pitchers, fresh and getting them extra bullpen days, getting them extra rest days and development days. It's also eyes on the prize in terms of this is when we want to compete, and so we're going to go all in. I don't know. I have a lot of anxiety that they're not going to spend this off season.
Because that's what they're doing. That's the whole point, is they are on track with the amount of innings that they want to have for Justin Dunn, Justice Sheffield, for Logan Gilbert, for the rest of the crew. That is all of that in mind, so that when they come around to the following year after they have gone through a full season and recovering and completely away from the 2020 half-measured COVID season, that everybody's arms are going to be fresh, ready to go. They can move to the five-man rotation. They can spend to get to the five-man rotation. All of that is in mind, and that's what I like about Jerry Dipoto and this group, is they have the eye on the prize in terms of their rebuild, how they want to do it, and they firmly believe that this is the best path for their guys right now, and they're not going to deviate. So although I don't like it, I like the conviction in the plan.
All right, we are taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. The Mariners continue their series against the Detroit Tigers tonight. Justin Dunn will be making the start. First pitch is at 7:10 p.m. with the pregame show right here, 6 p.m. on 710 ESPN Seattle. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. Speaking of these prospects, who better to help us understand than Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline? He joins us next.